Thank you, Ms. Burke. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2 in your Bible. For the tape room, the title of the message this morning is Christmas Pictures. Christmas Pictures. I don't know how many of you take pictures at Christmas, but it's kind of a traditional thing. You know, a lot of times now people take Christmas pictures together and we dress in colors that we normally wouldn't. We all match. We go to some location that we don't really want to go to, and we take a picture, and we try to look like in the picture that we're happy about it. We understand. Now, I you know, if you're like me, usually they try to rope you into a picture somewhere that they can corral you at a place where they can get a blank wall, or if there happens to be. But you know, all of us have kind of been roped into that Christmas picture, but that's not always the Christmas pictures that we're talking about. A lot of times we take pictures, and now we do it on our phones and different devices, and we're able to just do it everywhere. But most of my childhood, I can remember everything, you know, every time you were about to open a package or do something, it was, let me get the camera. Wait, stop, halt. I've waited so much in my life for cameras. The one thing I am thankful for them doing is putting a camera on the phone, because now they just, there's no wait. It's just usually I look up and I'm on FaceTime, you know. I look up and I'm being snapped and pictures are being taken of me at times. And then you have that same thought. At least you had to wait, you know, even with Polaroid, you had to wait until the, you know, it developed and then you went, I look like that. Now you can look at the camera and you go, I look like that, you know, and, you know, and then you watch everybody when they, you know, it's Christmas Day. You tried to kind of, you know, now everybody wants to match on Christmas Day, like have to get clothes and everything, not for the picture, but even at home. And because everything is kind of a photo session, but Christmas pictures, we all have them. And I don't remember my childhood, not as good as Pastor Carter does. I mean, he goes back to like 3 years old and he can like, I have some good memories, but I kind of like, I'm wondering if what blends into what I remember and what I've been told, because I remember, then I look at the picture and I go, do I really remember it, or do I remember what people told me about that? Or like, you know, like there was a picture and I might have been 3 or 4 and I'm there, you know, and they didn't even put pants on me. And I tell my mom, why do you keep these pictures where you, at least you could address me, you know, and then I have like a Coca-Cola shirt on. My uncle worked at Coke, so you know what I mean? We always had those around. And I'm like on a bat cycle. Now, I think I remember the bat cycle, but I'm not sure. I don't know if I remember it because of the picture and all the Christmas and everything that went on and what my mom told me that I did with the bat cycle that ended the bat cycle. You know, they're not as sturdy as what they really come, you know, as what they make them out to be, you know. And so, and like all good Christmases, usually Christmas gift ends with, watch this. Right? I mean, you know, you got it for Christmas. I remember my favorite Christmas gift, the thing I asked for above all things, that I don't know how many of you, again, this is a guy thing. So ladies, you probably won't, you know, it's an RC car. It's probably, you know, maybe 11, 12. And I think it was Tyco. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't American made. So it was actually in decent shape when it first came out, you know. I mean, it was remote control. You could tell it was sturdy, right? But, you know, they don't make them watertight. And it was like a dune buggy. And the coolest thing was when you turned left, the guy's head would turn. And then he would turn like this. And I don't know why I thought that was the coolest thing. But at 11 or 12, you probably thought it was cool, too. And I took it out, and I had it. I mean, it went out as hard as it could go across the farm, you know. And I spun it out, and it did a donut and came back. And I went one more time, and it slid right into a water puddle. And it came out the other side, and it never worked again. You know, and that had to be one of those watch this moments, amen. And every one of us could go back to different Christmases of times that we can remember the pictures and we can see the things. And I have a family that I won't even go through the stories, but my mom's side of the family is crazy. They gave stockings away every year. And if you can imagine this, every year there was a musical instrument, whether it was a kazoo or a plastic flute or a candy flute, there was something. And we always had to gather together and get video of us trying to do a Christmas carol with those musical instruments, amen. And so I won't try to explain or sound like what that sounded like. But we always had a lot of fun. It was always a lot of fun being there. But every one of us can go back through that. And even the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 gives us pictures of the day. It pictures so many different people. It gives us background and history upon it. But this morning, I want to kind of pick out some things that are easy for us to see and then see how that is pictured through time for each and every one of us. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1 is where we'll begin reading. But first, I'd like to pray. And I know that none of the stories predating this was sanctified. So I would like to pray and ask the Lord's blessing. And hopefully nothing I said before will taint anything that comes after. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do come to you again, Lord. And I thank you for this day. We know that you were born, Lord, and we knew you came with a purpose. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look back and each one of us can think about the Christmas memory. Some of those Christmases we spent were not focused on you. But Lord, today we're in your house, and today we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only with our own lips, but from his word. And Lord, I pray that you would I pray you'd bless the message, Lord. I pray you'd use me as your messenger boy, Lord. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross so that others may only see Christ through the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter number 2, I'll read many verses here. I want to read the Christmas story. This has been the tradition of my home for years, and I hope many of you probably already opened gifts, but this is something we do in our home before we ever open gifts. In Luke chapter 2, in verse number 1, I want you to see, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now the story of Christmas is powerful. It is one that shows us so many things historically. It not only tells us historic things happening with the taxing, which governor was in office, it tells us all these historic things, the place, the setting of, it tells us the place of Christ's birth, and it's a predicted place, and we see that already by the time we leave Matthew, but it tells us exactly where, so many different things. But I want you to see in verses 1 and 2, I see taxing. You know, for me, one of the things that they say that everybody must do in this life, what is death and taxes, right? And so even the Lord Jesus, how God Almighty brings him to the place that he has predicted for his birth is taxes. Now, if there's any time that I've ever been thankful for taxes, it would be this place. Now, we can say, well taxes never helped anybody. Well, it helped all the world. We see that, you know, now you say, well, why would you say that? Well, I know there was a debt owed, and it was to a governmental power, one that governed the whole world at the time, and it brings our Savior to the place of his birth. I see traveling all in Christmas. How many times? I mean, Christmas pictures some things, taxes. You know, I mean, when you start tallying up, I don't know about you, but the Lord blessed us this year. We had a good Christmas at our house. I mean, there was a lot, it took a lot of time to to open some things at our house and take time. And, you know, because I was going to preach, my wife was looking at what we spent. Because I went out, I like to go and get a few things for the kids, and she was already prepared. Everything was already purchased, but I like to get things that are just from Dad. And so she's like telling me to calm down. I've already got everything. I said, but I want to get this. This is going to be from me. I want this. I want them to be able to get this from me. And she's like, calm down. And then, you know, because I prepared to preach, I thought, man, I started looking at all those presents and thought she was already going, man, what we spent. And I was going, what did we pay in taxes for all that? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, even like now, looking at gas prices, I thought, man, at least they gave us a break in one place right now. Amen? But I'm telling you, I mean, taxes, then traveling. You know, I know there was a lot of people going out of town and driving, and that is something that we have done a lot, but a lot of people do that at Christmas time. Even at Christmas time, we see that, I mean, just the payment that, I mean, can you imagine what it was like? I mean, I know that we have cars and, you know, trucks and go all these different places, but for Mary to travel the distance that she travels here at a time when the birth of Jesus Christ is at hand, and we see that she traveled, and that had to be tough. I mean, it's tough enough to just make a travel, to travel without being, you know, I've never been pregnant. Praise the Lord. But I know what it's like to travel with a pregnant lady. So I feel for Joseph. Amen. Amen. I mean, in this time, I mean, they're stopping all the time. Every time there's a bathroom, they're pulling off. Right? I mean, there's a lot of things happening during this. I mean, there's a lot of things. I'm sure if they're driving by, you know, a roadside taco stand, they're stopping. That's what it's like to drive with, and a pickle too, a pickle and a taco, that doesn't go together, but they don't care. Pregnant ladies just have cravings. That's what, they, you know, and I mean, so I'm sure there was travail. Can you imagine arriving there and probably already the baby is on its way and they're beating every place they can, knocking every door. Is there any place that we could stay? Is there any room that you could rent us? It's not like driving into Orlando and there's a, you know, a motel on every corner. They arrived in their homeland and they pull up and it's just, can anybody rent us a room? There's no room in the inn. Is there any place for us? And you know, we think about there's no place prepared, but folks, I'm just going to tell you, I mean, the travail that we, sometimes not finding a place to stay is what we dwell on, but when they get to the manger, there was natural childbirth that happened. And again, I've never been pregnant, but I've watched that happen. It's not pleasant. You say, oh, and all the children in the room, and we won't go into graphic detail, but folks, even in that, a mother really comes close to death, bringing a child into the world. The strenuous strain of the time. But all that knowing, can you imagine even that? I mean, I know what it's like just the blessing and watching my own child to come into the world as a man, from a man's perspective. But the man that stood there that day knew that this was not his son. This was God's son. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, I always tried to let the doctors do the catching. But there was no doctor there. And so Joseph, I mean, what a privilege not only to be there and to make it to the place of Christ's birth, but to catch the Christ child. To catch the Savior of the world and to hold him in your hands and realize it. And I can't imagine, though, I know what I felt like when they handed the child to me. And I felt the weight of responsibility that I had to train this young man or this daughter to be an adult. That I had to watch over them and to teach them that one day they would have to entertain where they were going to spend eternity. And that life, that it was me, that God had entrusted it to. And I can't imagine the weight of Joseph realizing that I have to take care of this boy. I have to watch over him so that he can grow, not because he needs to choose, but Joseph had already made his choice, folks. He just thought, man, what a weight to carry, because this is perfection. You know, we always feel that way about our children, don't we? Even though some of them, after you take their pictures to work with you, people turn away, right, when they're a baby. But nobody turned away from the Lord Jesus. I can tell you that was perfection. Now, there was nothing that seemed like that was God's son, I'm sure, but Joseph knew, Mary knew. I can only imagine. I remember in the room and the travailing of everything that was going on, and what joy happened as soon as that was over for my wife. It was not like an immediate exhaustion, but exhilaration that happened when the baby was born, and she couldn't wait to hold her child and to realize that all the hard work that had just happened. Can you imagine what Mary felt that day? Not only was this for her child, but this was the Savior of the world. What God had done had come forth. I can only imagine the travail that went on, the telling, the angels. Listen, if you want to talk about a messenger, you know, I always say that I'm God's messenger boy, but God has had messengers through the ages, and many of them have been angels. Every time they show up through the Christmas story, everybody is scared. There's fear. Now, I don't think that doesn't always happen to me, but sometimes it does. But I mean, for angels to appear, can you imagine an angel showing up and just being out watching, you know? I mean, it's like our security guards. If they woke them up, you know what I'm talking about? They're supposed to be watching a body. They're abiding in the security vehicle at night. And somebody walked up and said, "Behold!" I mean, you know, they'd scare them to death. If you've ever passed the night abiding or watching over anything, you realize that sometimes you wait and you're kind of quiet, and when somebody just comes out, can you imagine the sky opening up and angels being there? Not just, but one telling about the Christ child and him coming, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's been born, and that this is the sign that you'll find him by. I can't imagine being a shepherd there in the field that night and just hearing the telling of the angel. And then we already have read the recording, and they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let us see this thing. Let's go and see the Christ child. See, awaiting, the word abiding, it means awaiting. You know that every shepherd that was in the field, they didn't just pick some unbelieving field. They picked a field of people that weren't just waiting over and watching over the sheep, but one that knew that, boy, can you imagine the thought being through the head of a shepherd saying, maybe the Christ child will be born. Maybe he'll be born. Maybe the Messiah will come. And then for an angel to appear. And I mean, behold. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like to be there. But even more, how about the shepherds trusting the word of the angels? You know, and I mean, the book of Hebrews goes through some great things before it gets to that this word of God is, I mean, sharper than any two-edged sword. But before that, it goes through a whole series of, if an angel's word is good, it builds an argument that this word of God is so much more powerful. And so if the shepherds could take the word of an angel, can't we take the word of the word of God? You see, this whole story is a historical story. The Christmas, if we could say it this way, the Christmas story pictures, I mean, the past. It's what I tell my kids every year. Every year when we gather together and we worship the Lord Jesus Christ and we remember the gift that God gave in his son so that I might be saved, it's a wonderful picture that is of the past. And I read the past. I read the story. We read it every Christmas. Even this Christmas, my kids couldn't wait. They were like, "Dad, can I," you know, they wanted to break. They didn't want me to read it. In the early days, I read it to them. Now, they want a piece of it, and they want to read it together before we open presents. It's a precious time for us. It pictures the past of what Christ has already done. I looked at the story, and I began to think about Christmas. The Christmas story pictures the purpose of Christ. You see, there was a taxing on man, was it not? There was a debt owed to a higher power. There was a debt owed to God Almighty. Now, what's amazing about this taxing would be, can you imagine, there had to be travel. Because nobody on earth could pay the debt that was owed, the tax that needed to be paid. No one could pay it. So Jesus left heaven. I see travel. I see a traveling from a heavenly place to an earthly place. I see travail, and not just in his birth. I can only imagine the mother goes through so much, but so does the baby. But when we look at Jesus' life, we see the travail that he went through in life. How the sinless one, the Bible uses the term and calls him the just one, travailed, living with sinners. Can you imagine what is it like to be God and be every day living with sinners? Can you imagine what it was like to be God in the flesh and to be tempted by the tempter? You see, for us, we think about that meeting, and if you're not careful, you'll think that that's the first time that Jesus and the devil ever met. And the sad part was, the devil knew exactly who he was, but because he was wrapped in human flesh, he thought, this time I can beat him. I've taken every other man, and I can take this one too. Even the things that he tries to tempt him with were all things that appealed, because again, his nature in God had already, listen, Satan couldn't test that. God was God, but enwrapped in mortal flesh, he thought, I can test the flesh. You know, he showed up to that meeting with his flesh tired. 40 days. That's a fast, folks. And he shows up there, and the first thing that he tests him with, and if you don't think that Jesus was hungry, you got another thing coming. Because even though he was God, he felt everything that you and I feel. And when you haven't eaten for 40 days, when you realize he draws to his attention, you are God. You could just make yourself a meal out of stone. You could just speak it into existence. Folks, even throughout the whole trial, all of that is things that you and I would have fallen for, one after the other. I can only imagine that travail. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about, can you imagine to experience sorrow and pain? I don't know what happened to Joseph. But I can tell you this, the Lord Jesus had to love him. And it doesn't record anything about Joseph, but when Lazarus dies, Jesus weeps. He cries because Lazarus was his friend. He knows what he's going to do. He didn't do that for Joseph. Joseph had to be a father figure for him on earth, someone that cared for him and taught him a trade and watched over him and protected him. Showed him all the things that he learned here on earth as a child, a young boy. How he dealt with him, probably different. I can tell you, if I had stayed back in Jerusalem when my parents left, I'd have got a whooping. Can you imagine Joseph having to hear from Jesus, I had to be about the business of my father. And for a man to reconcile that with himself, that this is God's son, and to treat him so. Travail, sorrow and pain, and then to go to the cross. The Bible says despising the shame. But he went there for the joy that was set before him. You know, I think this whole life, Jesus had the joy set before him. We see in every travail of his life, always purpose. Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost every day of his life. Every trial that he battled wasn't for himself, but for the hope set before him. That hope, folks, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That one day, it would be seated upon a throne and not angelic robots repeating over and over again and singing a song that only we could sing, but a redeemed people that chose Christ, heard the Christmas story, knew the Redeemer had come and chose him as their Savior. One day, folks, we'll sing that song. we sing that song here, but one day we'll sing a song in heaven. How about the telling? I know that it was the telling of the angels, but even that picture is for me a telling of God sent a forerunner before Christ, John the Baptist. Can you imagine? I mean, he's a boy, but I mean, in Elizabeth's womb, he leaps for joy because of who is in the womb of Mary. If he could jump up and down before he was ever born, what do you think he did when he was out of the womb and he knew who the Savior was and that he was coming? He jumped up and down. The Bible, he wasn't a wild man, but boy, I guarantee you people thought he was. Repent. Boy, that wouldn't be a great message for Christmas, was it? But that was John's message for Christmas. He said, every time when he preached repentance for salvation. And you know, the telling of the angels, but you know what? When the telling went to the shepherds, what did they do? They turned and went to Bethlehem to worship him. Do you know when John told the story of the Savior? There was a whole pack of disciples that turned and followed Jesus Christ, that trusted in him and followed him. Those men turned the world upside down because this man isn't like every other man. You know, Christmas, even though we get excited about the story itself, it's all about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. You know, I see the Christmas story pictures the past, but it also pictures the purpose of Christ's coming. But how about for us? Christmas pictures for those of us who have believed. What does it picture for us? It pictures His present will for us. You know, we gather today in worship and look back to the past of what Jesus did, but really we ought to be reminded of what Jesus did in our own lives. I didn't come here today because Jesus came to a manger. But I came today because he came to me. See, I heard the old story and he came to me. I called upon his name. And what was prophesied in Scripture, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It worked for me. Thousands of years after his coming, I called upon the name of Jesus. And the one that came as a babe, travailed through this life and died on a cross and rose again the third day. He came to me. Save my never dying soul. In the present. See, I can see it, his working in the past. And I realize that his whole life had purpose. But it has purpose in the present and to me. I think about the taxing of sin. You know, I made it personal in the present. I had a debt. There was a tax on me that I couldn't pay. And I'm so glad when I put it all together. See, I was raised in a good church and I knew all the things, but boy, I'd never applied it to my own account. My taxes had been backed up year after year. And when I realized all that was on the account, there was no way I could pay it. But I knew of one who did. It was already paid. All I had to do was go and take what was already paid for and put it up on my account. And I can tell you the day I did that, what a day that was. I had a new purpose. Because listen, this life is still full of tribulation. People die. People die way too early. We don't understand all the things that we travail through in this life. Why does a baby die? Why does a child die? Why do people die? Listen, I know this, that God did not create all the problems that come from sin. He just came to pay the sin debt. To redeem us back unto himself, that one day there's a hope of heaven. And when we think about heaven, we think of a perfect life. We don't have that on this side. We have tribulation and travail, trials and tribulations, persecutions on this side of heaven. How do I go through those things? I go through those things with a purpose. Otherwise, when I got saved, I'd be out of here. I'd see him face to face, but The reason he leaves me here is the reason he left the person that told me about Jesus here. Because somebody else needs to hear the old story. My life has purpose. Even gathering here today and backing out of your driveway, you didn't realize and you didn't set out to be a witness to everybody in the neighborhood. But when they heard your car crank up, they said, yep, he's going to church. Amen. I wondered if he would. I know it's Christmas Day, but if there was any day that he probably wouldn't go, and we say, if there was any day I should go, for sure, it's Christmas Day. But the whole world, people that are out, you know, they had to get some coffee or they had to get this. You know, yesterday a bunch of town had power out, and they all didn't have power to cook anything, and they were trying to find someplace open to get something to eat. Do you know those people driving around? Even this morning there were people without power up here off of 27. You say, I can't believe that. You know what they're doing? God forced them out of their house. Try to find something to eat, get some coffee first thing in the morning. And they're going, why are all these people out on the road? I wonder why them folks are dressed up. I wonder why they'd get up this early in the morning and go to church. Even driving by our parking lot, you say, well, it ain't as full as it always is. No, it ain't. But it's full enough. Amen. When people drive by to go, I wonder what's going on there. And I guarantee you this, at this season of the year, they're not wondering what's being preached. They knew who's being preached. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I have a purpose. We travail in this life. You know, the trivial pursuits of this life. Have we ever played the game Trivial Pursuit? That's the dumbest game. Right? Just ask you about all kinds of silly stuff. I mean, that's like most board games, right? You play them because you're bored. Right? I mean, that's how it is, right? And I mean, but you know, this life, when you think about the purpose and the travail, and you go through everything that Jesus went through, and you get to this place, you realize, when you start to live the Christian life, it's not a trivial pursuit. Every day I serve and follow God. I want to follow His word. I want to follow in His work. And I want to follow in His will. I have purpose. It's not a trivial pursuit. It's something with purpose. And think about this. You know, John the Baptist, just like God sent him. Folks, I wasn't sent from my mother's womb necessarily like John, and I didn't leap, but I can tell you this, I leapt when I got saved. It was a different day. It was a new man, not the old man anymore. And I realized I was left to tell others. And just like John was a wild man, listen, in my young man, I don't know as a young man if I was a pretty good kid. Out of my siblings, I would have been called the good son. Not because I'm a preacher, but before. I didn't give my parents any trouble. I was obedient and listened. I don't have one of those testimonies that I smoked and drank and hung out with people that did all that stuff. I didn't do any of those things. I just did what my parents told me to do. I tried to help out when they had need. I went to work from about 12 on. I had a summer job. And then if they'd let me not go to school, I'd have worked then too. I'm just telling you, you say, well, what changed about you? My purpose changed. Do you know I used to dream about building something for myself, building the farm and building this and building that, all my own dreams. And boy, when I got saved and God called me to preach, He gave me a new dream. It was His dream. He gave me a new purpose, not to build something for myself, but to work and to find Him in His word every day. To find Him in the work every day. To work His will through my life. Listen, even for the Christian, as we think, folks, every one of us, when we pass from death into life, we get in the baptismal tank, we call it putting on the uniform. But it's burying the old man and raising up the new man to walk in the newness of life. Not in the old man's life, but with a new purpose. To tell the old story, what we've been told. At whatever level God calls you to, you know, across this property today, I get to stand in the pulpit. And what a pleasure. What an opportunity that God allowed me to have this. But on buses this morning, people stood and told the old story. In Sunday school classes, in junior church classes, people tell the old story. In nursery, they're opening books and reading the old story. You say, "Preacher, what's the best picture?" You know what makes everybody that's heard the old story and is travailing and working the purpose is when somebody trusts in the old story. I started with this, but you know, all the way back, you know what probably gave, I'm sure there were questions. I can't imagine exactly how it went, but I mean, they had a purpose to get there. There was a tax to be paid. They arrived and they had a baby. And they thought, man, I can imagine Joseph and Mary's conversation. They were probably a little bit low. They weren't in a great place. The Savior of the world is there. And they probably weren't excited. But all of a sudden, then some shepherds showed up. Because somebody had told them about Jesus. And they fell on. Listen, they didn't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All they had was the shepherds, who had been abiding and waiting to trust in the Messiah. And I can tell you, folks, even though it was a great day when the king showed up, the shepherds recognized it. Those wise men, we all think about that was a great day for Mary and Joseph, and it was. It provided for when they went to Egypt. But what a day when they got the encouragement when someone else trusted in Christ. See, they knew who he was. But what a day it was when they weren't the only ones that knew anymore. There were shepherds that just were abiding in the field and somebody told them about the Savior and they fell on their face and trusted him. And what did they do? Just what we ought to do. They went everybody. Told everybody about what happened. What did everybody else do? They wondered about it. Think about this. This is what the shepherds finished with in verse 20. And the shepherds returned. They didn't go to heaven that day. Say, well, Jesus hadn't been crucified. They didn't go to heaven when Jesus was crucified either. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Do you know that the world needs to see some Christians not only telling others, but rejoicing? How about that? Glorifying and praising God. You know what changes people around us? This is something for me that the rejoice that's in Christmas, when we talk about rejoicing, when I glorify God during this time of year, even coming to church, praising God, coming to church on Christmas Day, say, that's just this little thing. Yeah, but it speaks volumes to the world. Even today, you know what? It's something different when we say Merry Christmas to somebody, isn't it? You watch some rejoicing and cheer. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. When we practice that. Peace on earth, what does that mean? It's telling others that they can have peace through Jesus Christ. We're not going to bring peace on earth. Jesus will. I can tell people about that peace. What am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do at Christmas time? Well, we know it's about family, right? About God's family. What does God's family do? What do we reset ourselves? At Christmas time, at least for me, it's always I reset myself and realize a debt's been paid. That someone else travailed to give me birth, a new birth. And that if I would just be the witness, just a telling, if I could just be the messenger like the angels. God used the angels in the Old Testament. Now he's given us his word for us to share with the world. He doesn't send angels, not on a regular basis. I know he still can. But you know, I remember at least how it is for me. The person that took the Bible and showed me how to be saved, that person's an angel in my eyes. Something still special about the person that told me about Jesus. You say, "Preacher, I don't know." Well, if you still don't know, it's because you haven't trusted in Him. If you've trusted in Him today, boy, you know what you owed. You know in whom you trusted. You know what travail He went through and how He died and rose again to pay your sin debt. This Christmas, what will our life picture in the brand new year? Will we remember it and live it and say, "Boy, I can tell you about that Christmas"? Or will it just be another time that the glorifying and praising God is not it's not something that was memorable? It's just another year that passed. We dressed up the same and we stood by a wall and we took a picture. Or will it be one to remember because I told someone else about the old story and I watched them trust in Christ? It's hard to forget that kind of Christmas when you tell somebody else about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and they trust in Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning, if you never trusted Him, do you know it'd be a memorable Christmas for you if you trusted in Christ? If you're here and you've trusted in Him, but there's somebody you need to pray for, there's somebody you want to come to Christ, and maybe this is a wonderful day to just glorify and praise God that God can save that person too. You pray for them and ask God to save them. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to join this church. Maybe you've been waiting, and Christmas Day is one of the things you want to glorify and praise God and join the local church, either by statement or through baptism. Why don't you do whatever it is that God wants you to do? Let's stand to our feet as Brother Bert sings this morning. You do what God asks you to do.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? If you're here and you don't know Christ, let me invite you. This is an old-fashioned invitation. We invite you to step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle. Come down front and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. We'd love for you to do that this morning. If you're here and you need to do some other business with God, I beg you that you'll do it today. No other day like Christmas Day to do business with God. Don't resist God calling and tugging on your heart. You do what He asks you to do, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. I hope you did whatever God asked you to do. We have some folks. We'll let you be seated. We want to share some things with you.